Hey, everybody. Fantastic episode of The Morning Show. We discussed the point farming trend that we're seeing in the NFT space and quite frankly, outside of the crypto and NFT space and how to maximize for future airdrops. We also talk about the recent fractionalized trading of NFTs that's now available on centralized exchanges. And then we are joined by Tony, the head of Web3 marketing for Shrapnel, our first person shooter gaming partner. And he talks about the game's release. It's a very entertaining episode. We have Kicks on, so he's pretty funny and we have a lot of joking. We also talk about price action on crypto with some charting as well. Tokens like Solana. Nick tries to talk about Filecoin and we just shut him down. It's a pretty funny episode. Hope you enjoy the show. And of course, go to the nifty.com/shrapnel to check out extraction packs by Shrapnel or follow Play Shrapnel on Twitter. That's at Play Shrapnel. Hope you enjoy the show. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Wednesday, January 24th. You've tuned into the Nifty Podcast. Ready to rock and roll. A lot of stuff to discuss today. Today, we are going to discuss the point farming trend that we're seeing in the NFT and crypto space and outside the NFT and crypto space for that matter. We're going to talk about how to maximize for future airdrops. We're going to talk about what to make of the recent fractionalized trading of NFTs that's now available on centralized exchanges. And we'll also be joined by our very good pal, Tony, the head of Web3 marketing for Shrapnel. Shrapnel, of course, our Web3 gaming partner that you will be hearing more and more about over the course of this year. We're going to hear about what Shrapnel's been working on. I'm just going to give you a sneak peek at Tony. Here he is right here. Caught him off guard. He's right there. What's going on, Tony? Good to see you, man.
GMGM, I'm stoked to be here, guys. Let's go.
We're stoked to have you. Before we talk to Tony, I'm going to let Tony chill for a little bit until we have the interview. Want to talk about Kicks. So, ladies and gentlemen, we ship Kicks a new lens, and it's a dope lens. One thing I didn't account for, I forgot that Kicks, this is technical, but Kicks' camera is not full frame. And so a 35 millimeter lens is really a 55 millimeter lens. He's so zoomed in. And actually, I'm getting used to it already. It looks good. You shave for the occasion. You also elected to have a bacon, egg, and cheese on a bagel sandwich on camera for us. What made you make that call with this close-up?
I'm working out these days, man, and I'm lifting heavy. And so I need those calories, man. It's all about macros. That's what's going on.
Dude, the level of detail on Kicks right now, you can see every pore on his face. Like, this is like,
at first,
a clean looking guy.
At first, I was like, this is not going to work. Now I just kind of am like, I only want it to be like this. I kind of want to get myself like an 85 millimeter lens to throw on this thing and just really zoom in. People are saying,
how much farther can we take this?
People are saying that this Kicks is in 8K. Forget about 4K, he's in 8K. People are saying Kicks is dreamy. This is a lot of fun. This is definitely a good setup. It's way better than the previous camera, regardless. So,
yeah, that's why I had to shave, man, because it doesn't look good on a bad day.
This is awesome. This is hilarious. We got Nick coming through. Nick, what do you make of Kicks's 55 millimeter setup, man?
He looks good.
He looks great.
He does look a little cropped. I didn't realize that he didn't have a full frame camera.
Anyone can make that mistake. The other day I was looking at it and I was like, ah, crap, that's a full frame. You know what I mean? Like, this lens wasn't going to work. That can happen to anyone.
This is the close-up in the movie right here. Like, I feel like Kicks is about to deliver some powerful dialogue right now.
Inflation is caused by the federal government, not businesses.
The quality is good, though. It's far superior to where we were at before. The autofocus is
exceptional,
top-notch. You look super clean, man.
Appreciate it. I even like picked an outfit and everything for today. I was really excited to come on. Look good for you guys because I care about
you. You look like 5 years younger right now. I'm gonna be honest. The lens really works.
And Steve LES
I feel like this is gonna get inappropriate soon, so we should just move
this
on.
Shirt may come off.
Steve LES, giving us a little bit of input. He said, just push the camera back. I did ask Kicks to send me a picture of his desk setup, so we'll have to find out.
It's mounted to the desk. The desk can't grow in size, therefore I can't get it any further back. unless I like duct tape it to the wall or something, but we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. Nick, real quick, I am impressed at how good that camera is because this is the cheap camera. This isn't the A7 IV. This is the cheap one. So I'm actually pretty impressed with how good it looks with the new lens.
I mean, I'm not. I think the main thing is like a lens makes all the difference.
Yeah.
And
like the car made me a paint job, but I got a good engine now, right, Nick?
The camera was always good. You just got the prepackaged lens, basically, is what happened, which is a cheap piece
of shit. It's like so small.
Well, it just goes to show, like, this is comparable with like a. So this is the EV10 or something like
that's
that.
That's the camera, yeah.
And which compares to the Sony A6500 is something I would compare it to, which is a crop sensor lens, a crop sensor camera. This one is more compact. It's designed primarily for video and like vlogging and stuff like that. Dealing with a crop sensor is difficult though, especially if you're doing like selfie mode and walking down the street, which Kix is doing all the time. but yeah, it doesn't work as well. This is a real, like the sharpness is very high. And I think it is comparable. It may have even the same sensor on this camera. The only distinction is it doesn't have the hybrid with photography. I think it is pure video is the way that system works.
Like you would be able to see if I missed a single hair when I shaved and I didn't.
Well, there you go. Look, I'm sure that the audience would love to hear about lenses, but I can already detect the younger crop of audience members just getting impatient and being like, you know, now, talk about the market.
Filters are better.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen.
They can shut their damn mouth. You know,
the younger crowd is you know, they'll be vocal. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, the show is brought to you in partnership with the official gaming partner of Bodogos and the Nifty, and that's Shrapnel. You've heard us talk about Shrapnel before, and you've been seeing Shrapnel outside of this show, just getting more and more attention in the space. Shrapnel has announced STX 1.0, which is known as their Shrapnel testing exercises, and it includes over $3 million in prizes for people that rank on the leaderboard. I don't know if that's enough for you, ladies and gentlemen. $3 million bucks to participate. All you need is an extraction pack or an operator, and look for the date announcement of the first season. We'll be joined by Tony, the head of Web3 marketing for Shrapnel, later on in the show to learn more about it. He's a friend of the show. He's got a Bodogos X Shrapnel collab tattoo, so you know he knows what's up. Got a chance to hang out with him at Art Basel. Very, very cool guy. But in the meantime, we're also giving away a Shrapnel operator, which is worth more than $600, ladies and gentlemen, right now on Twitter. All you need to do is like the tweet, follow Shrapnel on Twitter, and comment Shrapnel for a chance to win. I literally loaded up the giveaway wallet with the ETH for this earlier today, so you know that's coming hot right down the middle for you if you win this giveaway. Anyway, let's just get right into this weather report. We got, Nick?
As I'm researching this, Kix is making me want this camera, basically, is the current situation. That's how it's just working very well, and it's making me desire.
I've closed 3 deals with Fortune 500 companies. People just come on the call, and they're just enamored. They're just like, they're like, you know. And you got to get the lighting right, because you can get a nice hue-ish glow off the face. Oh, my God, it's absolutely incredible.
Fortune 500, are they just giving you $1 million?
They're getting right in there. I'm sorry, Nick. Wednesday, January 24th here. We're looking at some crazy volume. ETH coming in at 28 million. Solana at 7.8. Looking over at the top movers. Over on Ethereum, we have chippers up 40% to 0.56 ETH. Dead Fellas, Nick's old school project, up 75% to 0.27 ETH. On Solana, we got Froganas up 35% to 8 SOL. Tensorians up 21% to 92 SOL. That's a lot of money. Lastly, we have Bitcoin Puppet up 50% to 0.03 Bitcoin. That sounds like a Clemente project to me. After holders received a Runes airdrop that has a current floor of 0.048 BTC. If you don't know what a rune is, we don't either. We'll talk about it later. Over the past 24 hours, points farming season continues as NFT marketplace Magic Eden announced that they've spent the last year designing a long-term cross-chain rewards program. And the first reward will go to Solana OGs like Easy Eats with a retroactive diamond drop on Friday. Oh, sorry, on February 2nd, not Friday. Double rewards going to users that have 100% loyalty score. Magic Eden has already been taking that market share from an old Tensor, with Magic Eden's volume share going from 15% to 27% in the last 24 hours. On fractionalized NFTs, Flooring Protocol and Protech have announced a partnership with the centralized exchange Woo, which will allow users to trade fractionalized tokens of Bored Apes and Pudgy Penguins using a centralized exchange. Flooring Protocol and Protech partner with Sex Woo. Oh, this is the same thing over again, Clemente. Over to crypto. Bleeding has finally stopped. Taxes, dude. At least for now, as Bitcoin is up 3% over 40K. ETH is holding with alts like Solana, Avalanche, Say, and Sui up 8 to 12% after almost a week down only. Last but not least, Crypto Kaleo did some of his infamous NFT chart technical analysis last night and said that the 2.5 ETH for a m'lady at the base of a 9-month accumulation range looks like a solid buy, and he'd be surprised if they don't hit 10 ETH in 2024. He also stated for Canned Pie Pandas, if you don't trade NFTs and you thought this was a chart for a shitcoin instead of a degenerate cute panda, you'd probably ape into this strength. The ladies hold a 2.5 ETH floor, and Canned Pie Pandas are at 2 ETH. Back to you in the studio.
Dude, charting NFTs, let's go.
We're so back. That m'lady chart, though, I got to say, it's lower highs and lower lows. I think it goes lower. The Canned Pie chart looks really good.
Good. You have any of those, Easy?
I don't hold either of them. No, I had a Canned Pie because the Sol ones traded much lower for like a 3-hour span. So I traded the RBOP. But that chart looks good. Dude, I want to get back into Canned Pie, to be honest. They just give away so much shit to their holders. Like, bro, imagine just getting tickets to the Super Bowl just through a raffle.
He's got a real business too. Crazy idea. Got a lot to talk about there. Nick?
So I'm trying to understand. So Kix was talking about having sex with NFTs.
Yes.
And I want to understand, like, when it applies to sex.
You got to cut a hole out of the paper that you printed out on.
Okay. Well,
that's disgusting. Jesus Christ.
That was way off base.
Wow.
I already knew where you were going with the question. Yeah. I figured out.
With the zoomed in lens, it hits even harder, Nick.
That wasn't what I was saying.
Okay.
I'm trying to understand from a security standpoint, how does this get to a point where this is like, all we've been looking for is more reasons to call our NFTs securities.
Mm-hmm.
Is this not one of those reasons?
I don't know if this centralized exchange is allowed to be used by American users.
Sorry, you called it a centralized exchange. My understanding is
I don't know if American users can have sex with these JPEGs, Nick.
Nick, at the lunch we were at on Sunday, one of the two people that we were with called it a CEX, and the other one just kept calling it a sex. Like the industry term is sex.
Well, so that one of the guys that was there is a meme coin expert, is what he's being categorized as by the other person that we were at lunch with. We're not naming names, but the bottom line is he called a token while we were there. And after him being proclaimed the meme coin expert, I aped in. I'm up 300% on Honk. So Honk.
You bought in?
Yeah, right there at lunch. I bought in and I'm up 300% on that right now. And
Didn't you own an NFT called Honk too, like the ducks, or no?
I did.
No, I think the whole Discord owned those at one point. I think we owned 85% of the Honks at one point. Yeah.
The meme coin's looking pretty good with the market cap of only 6 million. Dude, did you see that? Sorry, I'm off on a tangent before we even joke.
Oh, it's fine. Did you have to sign your soul away to get the meme coin alpha, or is it just over lunch?
Yeah, dude, so Nick only has 4 toes on one of his feet now because of the initiation ritual to get meme coin alpha.
Well, oh, man, that's like Jack Ryan shit right there.
I mean, I'd probably cut off a toe for 300% if it was guaranteed for like
size.
At size. If I'm like able to buy $100,000 and turn it into $300,000, that may be worth a toe. But the thing I was going to say, Honk is the token here. Dude, did you see OSF swing there with the
million-dollar whiff after he sold it yesterday?
He's wild, bro.
That's disgusting. That scared me when I saw that. I was like, dude, that's a lot of cash to put into a dog with a hat.
Wow. The
hat stays on.
It made me ape in just another. I put in an extra $2,000 into it. And I'm like, I'm going to play along with OSF. You got big swings going on. $2,000 going into it
They put the huge swing on Pepe, and it didn't. I don't believe that worked out. I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
I think they didn't lose. Like, I think they still hold some of that Pepe, to be honest. Dude, I was at dinner with somebody, I want to say Friday, and they're confident that the dog with hat chart will fill that candle. And what I mean by that is it's the candle that goes to $4.
Yeah, dude, that's
they're crazy. Like adamant about it. They were like, the person who bought 6 million with zero like regard for if there was slippage or not, this person was dead set. He's like, that whiff chart will fill that candle. It will go back to $4.
The person
like,
was I don't dead know what set. You're smoking. What does that? What does that mean? The dude made a terrible mistake, and they're like, "This guy, now he's just bullish." No, dude,
it was uncomfortable how confident they were, bro. They were like staring me in my eyes, like it's gonna fill.
No way,
dude. So that's a 10x from here, right?
Right around there, yeah.
And what would be the fully diluted market cap
against Doge?
$600 billion or something stupid, dude. It would be the dumbest thing in the world. Like, I don't actually know what the market cap is right now. What is it? I can't see.
No, it's $323 million. So it'd be $3 billion. Yeah. I think that's reasonable.
That's actually possible.
That's possible.
Oh, that makes me
uncomfortable. I mean, it's ranging well right here.
Shouldn't dog with hat be worth $3 billion? Come on.
So honestly, it should be chasing an Apple market cap, in my opinion. Like, send it to $3 trillion and call it a day.
So yeah. I'm going to go through the newsletter stories. I'm going to ask for the threesome of Nick, Easy, and Kix to just be a little bit mindful about not speaking over each other. And I'm going to really take a step back so that I don't speak over you guys too. Also, I just want to say that Zoomed In Kix is my new favorite panelist on this show ever. Like, it's just so funny, dude.
You can see the Zins don't even cause much gum recession at all.
Your teeth are looking great, dude. I think they are great teeth. It's better than mine. I went to the dentist yesterday. I do have a little gum recession from apparently grinding my teeth in this situation.
Yeah. That's what it was doing to me. You just get a mouth guard. Pop that thing in, you're good to go. You got to wear it every day. But I lost mine for 4 days, so it's okay if you miss a couple of days. But I got it back. Also, Chuck Schumer's trying to ban Zin, so I don't like it.
Well, there you go. Well,
quick political statement from Kix.
I also I texted Bunny during the show because I thought we had sent Bunny has the identical camera setup that Kix does. So next time Bunny's on the show, we're gonna have a zoomed in Bunny as well. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, the Daily Digest is posted to X every morning. It's pinned up top and emailed to anyone that subscribes at thenifty.com. First story: Avalanche has begun buying AVAX meme coins as part of their Culture Catalyst program and shares the framework for identifying which meme coins get selected, including snipe bot resistance, fair launches, high holder counts, and more. Ethereum, an EVM compatible Rabi wallet, announces points airdrop for users based on wallet balance at the time of snapshot, and receives backlash from users for no reward to OG users that use the wallet for several years. Next story, Bored Ape Yacht Club has introduced a From the Bodega weekly series to highlight Bored Ape.
Complete bullshit, dude.
Nah, the lawyers are coming after them.
I mean, that is kind of wild. From the Bodega weekly series to highlight Bored Ape holders utilizing the Bored Ape IP. I mean, that's really...
When the hell was there ever a bodega? There was never a bodega. Dude, this is just bullshit. They're coming after us. There's a lawsuit. I got to...
Bunny, you have your hand raised.
We've always had a bodega.
What the hell are you talking about? Where was the bodega?
We were building it. You didn't invent the word bodega, Nick. I hate to break it to you.
We didn't invent it. We just popularized it across the NFT landscape. Name one person who doesn't know about bodegas. You can't.
I can't.
You know?
All right, next story. Punk6529 published a Twitter thread about how to get a job in crypto, including highlights like a full-time crypto and NFT trader does not count as a job. Thank you, 6529. Thank you. Why you should consider a job in crypto, the benefits of learning and then writing about it on Twitter to build your brand and exposure to potential employers. Absolutely. I did not see this thread or read it, but it seems like a great idea, so I'll have to read it later. And a lot of people that listen to this show, I think, could benefit from reading this thread. Next story, commoners have minted out a 10K collection, which was free to mint when inscribed on an uncommon sat. The collection currently holds a 0.021 BTC floor. Real quick, when I minted my Pizza Ninja, they were like, you got uncommon sats in this wallet. Are you sure you want to use them to mint this thing or whatever? And I'm like, dude, there's so many sats in every Bitcoin. I'm like, if I just go to my actual Bitcoin stack, how many uncommon sats are in there? Could I?
Well, actually, probably not a lot because it's the first and the last of every block. Mathematically, there's 600,000 in circulation. Due to a lot of people's analysis, they think that 30 to 40K, it's what's actually touchable supply. Most have been lost over the years. Just in case you were wondering, and I minted the commoners. So,
well, thank you very much, Zoomed In Kicks, a nerdy character. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know. That would mean that I could comb through my Bitcoin stack and theoretically just pluck out sats that are worth more than one sat.
Literally what gold miners did in 1929, dude, but digital. Why not?
We'll see.
Sorry, gold miners had rare gold within the gold?
Well, like a bigger piece of gold is harder to find than a small little speckle, probably, buddy. So you want to play this game?
Last story from the newsletter. You heard us talk about it. Dog Whiff Cap, you know, ticker Whiff, is up
with hat.
With hat.
I thought you said with cap.
Oh, maybe I did.
I thought you said with cat. Dog with cat. That could be. Let's lock that down quick.
Dog with cat.
You know how to dev? Let's get this shitcoin rolling.
Dog with cat, the devs are cracked. Anyway, Whiff is up 52% in the last 24 hours to a $310 million market cap. So those are your stories from the Daily Digest. Subscribe at thenifty.com. Check it out on X platform. Follow the Nifty on X. All that stuff. First topic, Magic Eden and points farming 101. So yesterday, Magic Eden announced their retroactive diamonds rewards will be coming February 2nd for their Solana users with doubling rewards coming with people that have a 100% loyalty score. So Magic Eden's volume market share went from 15% to 27% in less than 24 hours, taking quite a bit from Tensor. Okay, so from the competitor Tensor, who already had a point system. What do we think is the best way to approach this point farming mania that we're seeing in the NFT and crypto space? How do we maximize airdrops? I want to see what Easy thinks. I want to see what Kix thinks. What's the story here, gentlemen?
So points-wise, this is, I mean, it seems pretty clear compared to like the Tensor situation why Magic Eden's doing this. They've announced partnership, or not partnership, but like non-fungible DAO, which is a separate entity that's going to be giving a token to Magic Eden users. Whereas Tensor, there's still like speculation of if a token's even coming. So now you've seen this market shift because it's basically clear that you're getting a token for using Magic Eden, and they're giving back retroactively for the last 2 years is like the big thing for everyone that's been using it. So that's a huge win. I think the most straightforward way to quote farm it is just what it says in the quest tab. Buy Magic Eden listings, list on Magic Eden, make offers on Magic Eden. You can also just do AMM pools, which kind of cover all three of those, where it's buying, listing, and making offers. And just kind of let that work for you. But it's essentially just use Magic Eden and use the functionality that exists there and stack diamonds. Pretty straightforward.
So everyone is now just mining this coin, basically. But does our historical activity primarily, is that going to be a major advantage here?
I don't know if it's going to be a major advantage. They said February 2nd, everyone who's been along for this journey will be given a diamond retroactive drop. So if you've used Magic Eden in the last 2 years, you'll get something.
Are those, I forget what they're called, gems or rubies or whatever they are that was already on there. Do we get
diamonds?
So those are diamonds.
Yeah, okay. Diamonds.
So those are going to convert?
I don't know if they convert. No one's really sure what the exact like pairing is to it just yet, but the speculation is, of course, number of diamonds higher equals more NFT token.
How many diamonds do you have currently?
217,000, 216,000.
Sorry. What? I was in a chat where someone asked them last night, so I didn't know the number. It's a bunch of diamonds.
This is before the retroactive airdrop.
Don't get jealous again, okay? Because I already see it in your face. You're like, why don't I have 260,000 diamonds? Don't worry. He's working out some stuff or other good stuff. High upside, whole team, one team.
How many do you have right now, Kix?
Probably not a lot. If you got 216,000, I'd be surprised if I had more than 2,000.
Dude, this is
based on my trading volume.
I have 17,000 on one of the wallets.
That's so good.
I'm assuming there's at least some sort of, and Easy's been flipping Solana since he was 16, so like a year ago. And
you're doing pretty good. I'm impressed, man. To have one wallet at 17, that's good.
That's not bad. I've heard some people who are like really active who have like just barely cracked 10. Like 17K is not bad. The other thing too is like buying higher valued assets and making offers on higher valued assets gets you more. So like this thing's just going full farming mentality. Like you're going to see some crazy strategies come out of this in the next like couple weeks.
So basically, Nick was slinging some weight around on Solana. That's what you're saying.
Nick showed up with some girth and really just emphasized his play here.
He's moving weight by the pound, dude. He isn't slinging dime bags on Solana.
Okay, I mean that was inappropriate, but it is.
We're just talking about your weight, dude. That's it.
Yeah, I've never seen you fat. I don't think you've ever been fat in your life. I wouldn't worry about that.
I am a little fat. I'm gonna be honest.
Right, a little bit. Yeah. My wife had a scale, and it said my visceral fat's an issue right now. My metabolic age is 2 years older than my actual age, so. That's why I'm eating macros. That's why I had the bacon, egg, and cheese, because I'm in the gym just straight lifting.
Bacon, egg, and cheese is breakfast of champions. Every nutritionist that I've found suggests that you should definitely have a bacon, egg, and cheese on bread.
Yeah, because you need oil. Just like you got a like oil machine, you need the bacon grease oil in your body. That's what keeps that thing going, dude. You know, so you're gonna like lock up.
Thank you for the dietary insight, Kicks. Real quick, we got fractionalized trading that we want to talk about here. So yesterday we had Centralized Exchange, also known as SEX, Woo, partner with Flooring Protocol and Protectorate, which allow users to trade fractionalized tokens of Bored Apes and Pudgy Penguins on a centralized exchange. So Kicks, you tweeted that this is overall a good thing, but that this could reduce some of the parabolic price action that we've previously seen from NFTs. What do you think, Kicks?
Yeah, I mean, I think first of all, it's interesting that basically a lot of the innovation in NFTs over the past year has been to make non-fungible tokens fungible tokens. That's essentially right. Like a lot of blur trading, right? Everyone's just trading the floor, right? Like when we started in 2021, it was, everyone felt like unique and different. It's like, oh, I want to get this one, I want to get that one. And just over time, they've been kind of commoditized. And yeah, so it makes sense that we're seeing stuff like this. I mean, I think the most interesting thing is that it allows people to get, the thing with NFTs, right, is like if you own one, you're either in or you're out, right? Like I own one Pudgy Penguin, right? So I bought it for $6K, it's up to like $40K. My only option if I want to take profits is to sell that one Pudgy and now I have zero, right? I'm completely out of the game. There's a lot of people like that in NFTs, and I personally think that's why we see a lot of crazy pumps. Like for example, Bored Ape Yacht Club. How many people just had one Bored Ape, it's their profile pic, price is going up, they can't take any profits other than the airdrops, right? And so it creates this like illiquid supply kind of situation. And I think more stuff like this, it's just going to smooth out maybe some of that price volatility just because if I have a Bored Ape, now I can sell 20% of it sort of.
Well, getting a high loan to value is really interesting because you avoid the capital gains tax if you buy low and sell at a discount basically, which I love. And some of these you can get 80% loan to value, which is pretty crazy. I mean,
That's cheaper than taxes.
Loan Shark Nick was out here giving nearly 90% loan to value on those Mad Lads, which was stupid. Although I'm now back, I was underwater for a moment. I'm now back above, so I'm feeling pretty good about that. Thank God for the market turning. But the other side of this,
I got another loan taken, by the way.
Really?
Ooh, let's go.
My offer is at 130.69.
Wow,
is that That's a dope loan, huh?
Yeah, that's a
dope. Wait, what price?
130.69.
That's really just like in the
who wants it? Who wants it? Mad Lad Lender over here. Let's go. Loan Shark.
When did this happen?
I'll be right back. Change my titles.
He starts buying some pudgies just like with size. And I'm like, wow, you bought a lot of pudgies. And he's like, yeah, put all your eggs in one basket. And then like never said anything after that. And now he's just like market making Mad Lads on Solana. What happened to this guy?
Dude just pulled out like just...
Dude, he's
pulled out size.
Okay. We've gotten there's been so many phallic jokes on this show. It's just,
what do you mean? I was showing his Solana bag.
He's probably calling his boiler room of like 22-year-old interns in New York City and being like, guys, we need more of the loans.
Took some bacon out of the freezer.
So that he can make Kicks breakfast. The two things. One was, it's interesting on the lending side. The second side of this is the level of liquidity on these assets compared to like trading cards is insane. And I think from that standpoint, that is kind of an innovation in the fact that you can just like floor an asset basically is really interesting. the tokenization of it beyond where it's currently at, like the fractionalization, I guess I should say, is definitely like historically it just is a security. Like that's how it's defined in the books right now. But
yeah, so that specific thing can be a security without the project being a security, right?
Yes. But
like the Howey test, that court case didn't make all oranges a security. It made that an individual application of orange trees, situation a security, right? So you could own a Bored Ape and it not be a security. Someone could put it on Flowing Protocol and their Bored Ape could be a security, right?
Well, the security itself is those tokens that are being offered by Flowing Protocol as a derivative of the underlying asset.
Gotcha. Correct. Without Bored Ape necessarily being a security.
They are not culpable for the decisions of someone else to implement fractionalization. Mm-hmm. That said, I'm assuming that like these teams are not based in the US because like fractional.art did not work out. They had to transition out. And my assumption out, well, I don't know, there could have been a demand side issue as well. But like in addition to marketplace dynamics, it just is a security. I don't know how, like, it's just, like there's no debate over the law associated with fractionalizing assets.
We were at dinner with a lawyer last night and he was like, it's a security as soon as you fractionalize it.
So
how does something like Rally work then? Is that just because it's like KYC'd?
I don't know what the process is for like why that actually ends up working. You also arguably could say that what's the art provider that you can buy like a fractional
piece Masterworks.
Masterworks. Yeah. That I think that is definitively a security at that point in time, but they may have like legal approval for selling securities. Like I don't know. I actually not want to.
You're up your skis a little bit here, buddy. Let me do some Googling.
It could be the KYC process. Like I know none of us are lawyers, and we're just speculating.
With the Securities and Exchange Commission.
So is like any publicly traded company, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying the fact that they're registered with the SEC
says it all.
Offering a security versus someone in the NFT space who definitively is not registering with the SEC and is just letting you issue tokens.
They're actually Regulation A plus. They're a security Regulation A plus.
You just Googled that?
Yep. Yep. It's on their frequently asked questions, Nick.
Are you making that up?
I swear, it literally says
Regulation A offerings and offering circulars is what it says.
So you did make up the A plus, dude.
That zoomed in face would never lie to you. Look at that. You think that face is going to tell a lie?
It literally says, how does Masterworks securitize the artwork? All offerings on our platform are made under Regulation A plus. Hey, okay. I mean, I know that there's AAA bonds. Why is A plus so weird? You know what I mean?
I wish James Seifert was here right now to clear this up. You missed it yesterday, Kix. You with a zoomed in face would have been a perfect addition to that show. Anyway, Nick, you can continue on your securities discussion.
No, I mean, there's nothing else to add. It is a security. It is interesting that they're able to do this. The shares offered by Masterworks will not be. I mean, they're literally just saying, we are issuing a security. That's how you end up having to invest in this particular category of investments, illiquid investments. It is interesting that we can just do it with NFTs without any regard for the regulatory side of things.
I'd guess free lunch capital is probably non-US.
Gotta think so.
I would assume most of these places are not. I mean, Rug Radio is not based in the U.S. They're a Cayman Islands company. So, like, and they're not running a marketplace. So they do have a token. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm feeling like we should be based in the Cayman Islands. Like,
I'm down to move.
Clemente?
Yeah, easy. I have a question for you. You've historically, since Flooring Protocol launched, you've been less bullish on it. Because you said like, hey, this has pretty much existed on Solana for quite some time. It's not anything new that has is innovating particularly that I believe. Has that changed for you? Like, has your stance on Flooring?
Nope. Still feel the exact same way. Yeah, fractionalization of NFTs has been around on Sol for a while. Shout out Ovals, who are actually like pumping right now because of their partnership with Jupiter, which is great. But I think that in general, like, it kind of takes away from the whole non-fungible token aspect when you fractionalize it and makes them just literally a shitcoin with a picture attached, because now you can go and buy one one-millionth of an Azuki. It kind of takes away from the collectability and stuff. Like, the whole idea of an NFT here, kind of, it's like, I guess, you can also fractionalize a Pokemon card. Like, I can go buy a PSA 10 Charizard on Rally for one fractional share, but it's not yours. Like, it just, I don't know, something about that, I've never really been terribly interested in it. It's good for perps. It's great for, like, Wasabi and some of these other protocols that let you long and short, because now you can actually get leverage exposure to it, which opens up a lot of NFTFi, which I think is really cool, because now you're not counterparty risk. You're actually using the underlying token, which is pinned to the floor price. So, like, there is an inherent value on that side, which continues to create, like, a financial asset of it. But I don't know. To me,
I love what Trader Fermi said, Easy. He said, instead of NFTs, they just become T's.
I think it actually is really interesting. It's basically the gold in Fort Knox, and you're just trading
paper.
You're trading paper on it, which I think is, like, perfectly legitimate, and I think a really interesting approach, and something that I thought actually Coinbase was going to do, like, directionally try and get there and get regulatory approval for. They're not allowed to issue securities right now, as far as I'm aware. So they don't have that that approval. They could switch to that potentially, but the problem is it's not beneficial necessarily to the crypto space if they decide to determine that certain assets are securities. Now that becomes like dangerous territory. But I did think that Coinbase would provide liquidity on NFTs in a way that had not been done before, and instead they just launched another NFT marketplace that no one's interested in using. And
speaking of how little to low liquidity they had on there was a Pudgy Penguin that had been listed on Coinbase for like 2 years or something at 7 ETH, and nobody went even when the floor was 18. Like, the guy had enough time to notice it was on there, go to it, delist it. Like,
that must have been a That must have been a crazy, like, 120 seconds from when he realized that it was listed there to when he delisted it. That must have been intense. So real quick, if you look at Coinbase, well, Kix, what were you going to say?
No, I was saying, doesn't it make sense, though, that, like, a dog with hat, that there's, like, 1,000 people that own the original, like, picture itself, and then all the coin is associated. I don't know. I feel like that's not, like, that wild of an idea. What were you going to say, Pia?
I was going to say that Coinbase, like you said, Nick, they launched this NFT marketplace for, I think everyone said that it cost them $100 million to build it. I don't think that was ever announced. Everyone on crypto Twitter and NFT Twitter was like, yeah, that costs $100 million. I'm like, how the hell do you possibly know?
That's insane.
But I mean, it could be true in theory. Like, it could be actually true, but regardless, so basically Coinbase was undisciplined in the previous bull run. Like many people were. Like many entities were, they were undisciplined. And if they spent $100 million on that NFT marketplace, that was a big fuck up. But then they also had that issue where the SEC came after them. So I don't think that they're interested in issuing any securities. And if you ask Brian Armstrong, he'll say that every single coin that's listed on Coinbase, they've listed because they believe that it's not a security, and that they turned down 90%+ of the coins that, you know, are asked to be listed on Coinbase. But the things that Nick is saying are very interesting and could be the future of Coinbase once there's regulatory clarity for them. Last thing, I saw an interview with Brian Armstrong recently where he said that he'd like to, in the future, have Coinbase have, like, the Coinbase 500. So, like, instead of the S&P 500, like, the Coinbase 500, like an index fund of the top 500 crypto assets. I was like, that's juicy there, Brian. I like that one, buddy. And then that's
some of the chaos that would be in there, though. Like, think about the top 500 coins. There would be the dumbest things in there. Like, maybe we start, like, top 10 before we really start getting into like 500, dude. Like, there's got to be a Filecoin altcoin in that mix somewhere bunched up in there. That's just absolutely absurd.
Think about the Twitter campaigns real quick by Twitter degens at Brian Armstrong at Coinbase. Like, get this bullshit coin into the Coinbase 500. That would be pretty funny. The Sergeant of Solana would be definitely campaigning. Nick, what were you going to say?
Well, I was actually just going to say, how are we looking with Filecoin right now? That's the question that everybody wants to know.
Dude, nobody asked you to buy Filecoin. It's so random that you bought it.
It's actually down a little bit. That's kind of ridiculous. So that's not cool.
Every alt is rallying even harder today. Filecoin's just red.
Dude, my Bitcoin mining stocks are pumping. That's how you know. That's how you know.
Core is down, by the way, although it's up since you definitely could have bought. I saw Kick's tweet about this yesterday. That would have been that borderline marked the bottom when you were talking about Blur showing some strength here. That would have been a great time to buy it because you're up a significant amount right now. I think something like 20%.
So free alpha for the kids on the street, you know?
Solana is
nice of you.
Solana is looking so. I wanted to pull up this chart because these lines are
they're strong, Nick. They're strong.
Did it hit one of your 40 lines overnight?
40? Okay, it's three lines.
Zoom out. You zoom out on it, bud.
Nah, let's not do that. So, so basically, we saw strength at the level that I had drawn, which is 79. Easy calls at 80. Whatever, dude. It broke above. Look at the line that it tapped off of. Literally, that line was previously drawn. Taps off of it. Comes back. Bust through basically is where we're at right now. It's looking quite strong. Solana's looking strong right now. And you're welcome for these lines, everybody. Right now, I'd be aping in. I bought the other day. I would buy more right now.
How much is it right now?
85. 80, bucks.
Yeah, of 85. Course it's looking strong. What do you think?
It hit 79. Like that was the thing. Sub 80 was just like, whoa. This feels good.
It hit my level. And that was a great. Let's zoom out, Kicks. My next level is down at 55.
Not gonna get that.
So I actually did a very good job with this. The next level is 107. So we're just going straight to that.
We need to finish out. There's a little half line. Why don't you finish that one out?
Can you go to the 1 day instead of the 15 minute?
The 1 day instead of the 15 minute. Let's get there.
There we go. Yeah, this is the chart I like a lot. You got a nice falling wedge pattern here. Did break down that uptrend, but a little bit of strength here, and this is going to look beautiful. Also, really oversold on the MACD, which is great things to see here. And if you take a peek at the DXY, look at that candle, that wick off that bottom of the 16 lines you have bunched together at the top half.
It's not 16 lines. This is actually a fairly minimalistic chart at this
point. I feel like Mick has deleted out some of the lines.
Yeah.
Like
the Bollinger Bands is a nice touch to counteract the multiple lines he traditionally has. But no, this is a good chart. This is really good.
Of course it is. Like, how low do you think Solana is really going to go? Real quick.
Zero. I mean, it could go to zero, theoretically. But I don't know. I just lost a couple hundred grand overnight, so that was fun. But I'm diamond handing it here. That's what we're doing.
I mean, yes.
Bitcoin chart looks really good too.
Real quick, we'll dive into the Bitcoin chart in just a second. Today's show, though, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you in partnership with the official gaming partner of Bodagos and the Nifty, Shrapnel. Shrapnel has announced STX 1.0, also known as the Shrapnel Testing Exercises. It includes $3 million in prizes for people that rank on the leaderboard. So to participate and get a piece of that $3 million, if you're good, all you need is an extraction pack or an operator and look for the date announcement of the first season. We're going to be joined by Tony, the head of Web3 marketing.
$3 million?
Three.
Damn.
Thank you, Nick. Tony, the head of Web3 marketing for Shrapnel, later on in this show to learn more about it. Tony's been on the show before. He's a fan favorite, an audience favorite already. But in the meantime, we're also giving away a Shrapnel operator, which is worth more than $600 right now on Twitter. All you need to do is like the tweet, follow Shrapnel on Twitter, and comment Shrapnel for a chance to win. So shout out to Shrapnel. Shout out to Tony joining the show in just a few minutes. Anyway, Nick, Bitcoin chart, what are we looking at?
This is actually weird. Easy says he likes this chart.
I like this chart.
Where's the level? Where are you looking at with this?
I mean, 37.9 is still the level. Like that's, I do like that.
This line does look interesting here.
That's what I'm saying. And if you zoom out a little bit farther too, you're going to see a little bit more support there, right where we're sitting, which would have actually lined up nicely at 39.5.
Real quick, can I do something? And it's in line with this. This is where we would need like an analyst. If we had an analyst, this would be helpful. I'd like to see the halving chart, right? From the previous two halvings, 4 months before the halving. Keep in mind, last time COVID happened, so that's going to be a weird one.
That's called an outlier.
It's an outlier. I want to see those two charts and then look at these 4 months, and then I want you chart boys to analyze that.
Well, my chart is entirely based on 14 days post ETF, yep. Which is what I said, we resume up only mode. And it's looking like it's starting to pan out that way. All right, we're officially 14 days today, and we're bouncing nicely.
Well, I think it's a smart move here to take mortgage your house, put it into FBTC. I actually own FBTC is the one that I have. It's a weird name.
Yeah, like fuck yeah, Bitcoin.
Like, that's a terrible ticker, dude. Terrible ticker. I like HODL. HODL's probably my favorite one. And Burr.
Burr's good. I mean, yeah, I got
Burr's really good.
IBIT, the BlackRock one, because I figured you got to go with the big gorilla.
What I don't understand is like it's up 2.2%, but FBTC is up 1.8%. What's the deal with that? Like, what?
Ask James Safer. Actually, we should have done this yesterday with him on the show. Pull up the charts. Yeah. We should have pulled up the charts.
Nick, I think it's due to the backing and what each of these different ETFs actually have to hold on reserve versus cash and like how they trade in parallel.
Well, whatever the situation is, it seems like maybe owning some IBIT as well is the way to go.
Winner takes most.
I'll average into that over time here. I've been thinking just like, why not take my entire 401k and just put it in the Bitcoin ETF and just say, let's roll. Baby.
Coinbase, IBIT, FBTC, fuck Bitcoin.
Honestly, I love the conversation about options on it. That's what we really need, because then you can just take the full 401k and short-term zero data expiration options.
You can't use options in a 401k anymore.
Okay. You mean Vanguard in their tax advantage IRA accounts doesn't let you just send?
Well, I use Fidelity. Vanguard won't let you even trade this. But yeah.
Schwab, it should be noted, at first did not have any warning on the ETFs for the first few days. Now, if you buy IBIT, actually only IBIT, I think that's the only one I've been buying in there. It gives you a warning and you have to check a box to acknowledge how risky it is to invest in these securities.
That's funny, but you don't have to check a box to do like a 10x inverse volatility ETF. Like that one's fine.
That's totally fine, Kix. Come on. That's no problem. Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
You can also buy a mutual fund, by the way, where the chart over the past 20 years is literally down. It's like, yeah, buy it. You know, like, why? Why should I possibly buy this?
This is a two-decade bullish pullback.
Morningstar rated it a B+, dude.
Yeah, exactly. I love the ratings. The ratings are the best. So do I just buy the 5-star ratings and I get rich? I don't get it. Like, what do I do?
I mean, it's no Masterworks. That they're A+, but B+ I'll take, man. You're still passing.
I always look at, like, when I have stocks of mine that I'm like, I'm really bullish on this, and they rated a D. And you're like, this is a D? Where did this come from? Why is this like so awful? I feel like this stock is looking really promising. They're like, it's a D. You know, it's just not. And then you're just like,
you're just a contrarian, Nick.
Well, dude, we are in the crypto space. And I think that's, part of me was just thinking about it. So I have one account, one retirement account, which I had from like years ago from a Roth IRA. Which is like $100,000 or something like that.
Pretty good. Tax advantaged, like, Roth.
And I'm like, why not just put 100% of that and try and 5X this bad boy real quick? You know what I'm saying? That's what every investment advisor is like. Yeah, you should definitely like roll it over into that.
Yeah. What could possibly go wrong, as the traditional financial analyst says?
You need to talk to James Seyfert about the difference between owning spot Bitcoin, your self-custodied spot Bitcoin versus the ETF. But like on the self-custodied spot Bitcoin side, it's going to go up forever. As Michael Saylor said to Laura Shin, it's going up forever, Laura. So why not just plow it into there. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, right?
We should just make this segment called Propaganda Hour with Pio.
Oh, okay, propaganda. Okay, check in 10 years. Let me know how much propaganda I was throwing out there. Let's go.
Well, it didn't go up forever, Pio, just in case you're wondering. It went down by 80%. So that was like the first.
I'm not saying that there's not volatility. I'm not saying it's straight up forever. I'm saying if you look at the forever chart, it's up. It's higher than at the beginning of the chart forever. Plow. I like Ken Henge Film saying plowpaganda. I do like that. We got 7 minutes.
You know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to just ape in. I'm going to let. I'm going to take the 401k. Or the Roth IRA account from years ago that has steadily gone up with the Fidelity, target retirement fund, whatever it is. And
you're not trying to target retirement. You're trying to target early retirement.
This is Nick O'Neill's early retirement fund.
I'm going to sell all my Apple and Microsoft and just ape it into a
gigalong burr.
Well, you can go check. You can pull up Rom's tweets on Apple if Clemente wants to pull up Rom's. Rom's just like telling you what is going on Twitter, and nobody wants to follow him. He's got like 30,000 followers. It's literally the weirdest disconnect. It's like you got a guy just dropping heat almost every day about all things finance and crypto, and people are like, yeah, I think I'm going to skip following this guy. Let me go follow some asshole that's trying to pump a meme coin that's going to go to zero. And he's been tweeting quite a bit about Apple and Nvidia and Tesla, and it's been pretty fascinating to read about the way that he thinks about these different things. He likes Nvidia. And Nancy Pelosi likes Nvidia. They cleared, I think, an 8-figure gain on some options that they bought a couple months ago. As Nancy and her husband just really, really crushing it. Well, this is not relevant. China capitulation watch is not that relevant to Apple stock, Clemente. But thanks for pulling up that random tweet from Rom. Appreciate it, everyone. If you want a random tweet about China's impact on the markets, you can check out that one. Thank you, Clemente. Perfect. Anyway, last thing that we talk about before we are joined by Tony from Shrapnel. ETH NFTs are rallying, including OG NFTs like Doodles, Cool Cats, and Deadfellas. I knew that the Cool Cats were going to rally, but how hard are they rallying right now? How hard are they rallying? That's what I want to know.
They pulled back.
They pulled back.
Cool Cats did?
Yeah, they're sub one ETH now, but still 0.98.
I think it's nice to just add some of these older plays. Where's Doodles at? That's my question. Has that pulled back?
Almost went up to 3, I think. Yeah.
But where are they at now?
2.3.
Yeah, they're back down.
So you're going to get a lot of resistance from the bag holders that have been holding this stuff since all-time high.
Well, Doodles also have a couple of people who have just been sweeping aggressively. The one thing I actually look more for is like the mid-rares and rares. Like, I hate trading illiquid mid-rares.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people who love those. And when they start buying over floor, that's where you actually see like a decent amount of floor volume start trickling in following, because a lot of people just purely speculate that they know something others don't. Like, we saw two of the ice cream doodles trade recently. We saw a few rainbow pukes trade recently over the last like 48 to 72 hours. And when you start to see that, it was actually when they were sub 2. So like, if you tailed some of that money, you could have made a nice swing on Doodles, which was crazy. Cool Cats too, you saw a decent number of the television heads trade, which is like a pretty decent mid-rare trade. That's something to always keep an eye on. And honestly, it's, to me, not terribly surprising. I actually like what Cool Cats has been doing with Macy's Parade, some of the figurines, some of those other things. And Doodle's camp activation seems to be very well received so far.
You know what I've noticed recently, and Easy, correct me if I'm wrong, is that with some of these OG collections, what some people are doing, or what I've noticed, is that someone will go in and sweep like 10 or 15. And then because there's so many, or there's so few listed, that makes the floor pump 15, 20, 25%. And when that happens, all of a sudden people are like, oh, what's happening? They're about to announce something. Insider trading, guys, I got to get in on this. They FOMO in, and then it's like a cascading effect.
And there's less than 5% listed. So it's like inherently the floor giga sends.
People start tweeting about it, and people were like, why is this pumping? And they were like, well, because they've been doing this, and it's been so undervalued for so long. Like, look at all these.
Do you remember right when the market started heating up? All of Nick's hidden folder was giga sending.
That
every
was
collection
funny.
In Nick's hidden folder, he's like, oh, I got a sub deck. That was shit. The crypto toads are up 75%.
Gift from God. Gift from God, Nick. You should have been selling all that stuff.
But it was the same narrative.
Toads in your hidden folder.
Well, I actually sold one of my cryptos and then bought back in because there was a loss. My
you reset the cost basis,
figured out how to save a bunch of money. I did miss the crypto. Honestly, I was emotionally attached to. Like, I really loved
it. I like that crypto. It was a good looking toad.
And I got rid of it and I swapped it for another one, but it just doesn't hit the same way. But I also, like, I had to sit there and realize, like, you know what? It's time to let go of that emotional baggage, Nick. It's like an old relationship.
You still own your CDB?
What is
crypto dick butt?
No, I got out of it. I made money on the crypto dick butt. And then I think I potentially flipped it and lost a little money. But dude, these dick butts are down bad, to be completely honest. Well, they turned it around and it became a community project, which was like so ridiculous. Who the hell is owning that?
I like forgot about that. That season 4 was a community led situation.
Dude, and the whole, all the people on crypto Twitter that are just basically like you were saying, Clemente, you didn't just, I'm glad that you have this enlightenment that's happening at this moment in time. People on crypto Twitter ain't looking out for you.
No, you're exit liquidity. If it's on crypto Twitter, you are the last in line. Like, that is usually what happens. It's like, it's very, very rare that someone posts something on crypto Twitter and you're early. Like, extremely rare.
There you go. It's true.
I agree. I've been shifting my trading strategy. I'm now in the Discord. The Bodog.
So that's better. Yeah. So you're still
maybe
late.
It's actually better. It's actually
still maybe late, but you're ahead of Twitter.
I was getting hazed for the first week that I was in there. They were giving me fake calls and they were shaming me into being their exit liquidity. I fell for it. It was bullshit. But now I'm in the trenches with them. Now I'm in.
Yeah, they've embraced you.
You got jumped into the gang.
He paid his market fees, and now he's sitting at the lunch table. He's good. And then he bought Dwight Howard AVAX NFTs. And he was actually on that. You got a 2X?
Yeah.
Do you sell them?
I sold one for 2.5, bought it for 1.4. I'm still sitting on 2. On Sunday night, I was with Gotbounce, and we were minting these Donald Trump Bitcoin NFTs. It was a disaster. Do not buy them. But we were sitting there, we bought them, and it took them like they were waiting to sell out. Then they inscribed them, and then 2 days later, they send them to you. 2 days after that, they index them, and now they finally got indexed last night. It's a disaster.
How underwater are you?
Oh, I'm up like 5X on.
I was going to say, the Trump NFTs always pump. He just puts out more. I feel like that could be actually a wild trade over the next 16 months. Anyway, look, ladies and gentlemen, we are joined by a friend of the show, a fan favorite, just a pal in general, the head of Web3 marketing at Shrapnel, Mr. Tony. Tony, what's going on, man?
Hey, GM, everyone. Excited to be here. I love hanging out. I'm wearing my Bodago's Shrapnel collab shirt from Miami right now. I've been just enjoying the show all morning. You guys are a riot. Kix, you look beautiful, as we all pointed out. And man, this has been one of the most enjoyable shows of the morning for me.
Well, thank
Tony,
you so
I gotta
much.
Ask, Tony, I got to ask, can we see the tattoo live on video? We're starting right here.
Let's see the tattoo. Right,
let's see if we, how we go.
I'm sorry. Look at that, dude. Look at that.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is a two-tone, muted color interpretation of the tattoo. Very, very dope. Looks great just right there on the arm of the Bodago's character that was interpreted for the Shrapnel Bodago's merch collab t-shirt, the inaugural merch collab. Very, very dope. And Tony, you're not the only one that got that tattoo.
Yeah, we had a gentleman from one of the communities we do spaces with. His name's Goody. He also got a shrapnel tattoo with me. And the tattoo shop we ended up in was like the wildest experience I've ever had. Like, we were in the middle of Miami, and we were in like not a super bougie area of Miami. And so I was expecting us to, and we were just like looking on Google. I was expecting us to walk into this place with like, you know, a fucking chain gate that they lift up and just like a bunch of huge dudes rolling around, like, you know, tatting people and smoking cigarettes. And we walk in and it's like 10 beautiful women. And like, those are all the tattoo artists. Those are the people checking you in. And it's like college girls from University of Miami and their moms getting tattooed. And then me and fucking D-gen getting Buddy tattooed on us, right? And like these girls are like, love you, mom, and like, you know, Katie and Sally. It was great.
Well, it sounds like quite the experience. Sounds like a true Miami experience. Well, look, Tony, last time you were on the show, it was October, so not that long ago, but in crypto, that's a long time. You guys at Shrapnel had just announced a $20 million fundraise, which is obviously huge, huge, huge news. And you guys were starting to share teasers of the Shrapnel gameplay. Where are we at now?
So we are kicking off our first broad early access actually this week, Thursday. We'll have all of the operator holders. So the 10,000 Genesis NFT collection that we launched a couple years ago or a year and a half ago. The dog is really excited to say hi. All of those people have been invited to play in a play test starting on Thursday. That'll happen at about 4 p.m. Pacific time. And we'll stream that from our Discord, and we'll have a number of folks from the space playing and streaming. I hope you guys are playing. I know we sent you guys an invite. I saw it on Slack. I have a note to remind you to fill out the form. But yeah, that'll happen Thursday and then again on Friday. And then starting sometime very soon after that, I think we're announcing the date officially on Monday, season one of the Shrapnel training exercises that anyone with an extraction pack will be able to participate in. That'll start. We'll have a total of a $3 million prize pool in Shrap that we'll be distributing to people, basically in chunks every time we do one of these Shrapnel training exercises. So STX1 will last for 3 to 5 days. People will be invited to come play the game, and we'll have a live leaderboard on the website that will display your call sign and the amount of Sigma, which is like the MacGuffin in our video game, that you extract with. So high-level Shrapnel is an extraction shooter. It's like Escape from Tarkov. The player has a persistent inventory that lives outside of the game. And that is like all of your weapons and your gear and your playable characters. There's multiple playable characters. And those are all configurable before you go into the match. And then virtually anything that you're using, your guns, your gear, your attachments, those are all tokenized NFTs that can be looted from you when you're killed in game, and that you can loot from others when you kill them. So the idea is that there's a lot of risk and reward as part of this universe. There's a green meteorite type substance that falls from the sky called Sigma, and you extract with that Sigma. That's what the leaderboards are based on. So as you accumulate this stuff in game and bring it out of the game with you, we will track that on shrapnel.com. And like I think we're paying out, we decided it was like the top 1,000 people per nice. Per season, and it'll be weighted. We'll have an official announcement. Like the first place will get a bunch of money, okay. And second place will get a bunch of money minus, and then top 1,000 people get whatever. But it's I'm pretty stoked about it. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. We've been playing the shit out of the game in the office. We played again last night for a few hours, and it's looking better every day. So I'm
so excited. Hey Tony, quick question for is it gonna be like a every man for themselves extractions, or will it be like team based for the playtest?
Eventually it will be team based, and basically. We will have a number of these training exercises, which are basically, again, 3 to 5 day periods where the game's up, we get a bunch of feedback, pull the game down, do a bunch of work to it, and put it back up. Each one of those training exercises will represent an update to the game, and we will roll out things like duos, trios, teams, alongside a lot of our creator tools too. So like at one point, some people will be able to start editing maps and creating their own experiences within Shrapnel, and so that'll roll out, you know, as part of this phased approach that we have, with the idea being that at one point later this year, it'll just be always on. Anyone with an extraction pack will be able to play, and then towards the end of the year, we're hoping it'll be just true free to play. You won't need an extraction pack. Just download the game and play, and you'll buy in-game content if you want to, you know, make your character look different or your gun look different or so forth and so on.
Really dope. And so how often is the playtesting going to happen?
So right now, we haven't announced an official calendar, but right now it's looking like basically every 2 weeks, to be frank, right? We'll put the game up. We'll let people play for 3 to 5 days. We'll pull it down. We'll bang on it. The QA team will test it a bunch, and then we'll put it back up and rinse and repeat. And then we'll have, there'll be like several minor releases where it'll come down. We'll fix like literal like bugs and stuff, and then it'll go back up and you'll be playing effectively the same game, but with, you know, it'll just look better. There'll be fewer bugs. And then every 3 or 4 weeks, it'll be like, there's a new gun or there's a new playable character or there's a new set of perks that your operator can progress through, right? Because we're a progression based game as well. So the things that you play as in the game are also called operators. They're the actual characters that are running around shooting people are called operators in the game. And there's a reason to own multiple of these things in the game, specifically the perk trees, if you will. So as you go from, like, you know, level 1 to 60 or 80 or whatever we're gonna have, you'll unlock new and more powerful perks, like the ability to run faster, jump higher. We have like a called a Sigma push ability, which is basically like a green force field that shoots out from you and pushes your opponents around and hurts them. Those will be unlocked basically as a unique kit, if you will, per operator, right? So like there's a operator named Aniki, and he's like a run and gun person. So he might have perks that are like, again, like stamina and sprinting. And then there's a more Black Widow-esque character that's like an assassin. And so she'll probably have perks that are like find shit and hide and listen and use the audio differently, right? Sorry, I could talk about this all day, but
that's great. Appreciate the detail. So basically, look, we went from you guys announced the fundraise and we saw some samples of gameplay footage. That was last time you were on. Now you're talking about people actually being able to play test. I know Easy is going to be play testing. Are we expecting to see a bunch of content from these play tests, like Easy playing or some of the guys, you know, that are known, like Bryson and these different guys playing the game on Twitter? Is that kind of what we should expect over the next couple months?
God, I hope so. I suck at my job, if that is not what you started saying. But yeah, my role specifically is to make sure that we're activating specifically you guys, the Web3 folks, like people that we are excited to build in public with, that understand what they're playing, that, you know, this is an early access build. Like, you know, if we put this on TikTok and not crypto Twitter, we'd, you know, there'd be a much different reception probably, right? Because the game is still super early.
Yeah.
So we are partnered with folks like Orangey that you just pulled up, and Cairo, who are, you know, people in the space who have followings in the FPS space and also in the Web3 space. They host weekly game nights for us. So they actually pop into our Discord, and we have prized events similar to this leaderboard that we've been running before. And so those folks will create derivative content from our game nights, right? Like highlights and clips and here's who's on the leaderboard. And then, yeah, my hope is that as we launch all these STXs, the people that are playing them, Easy, NFT God is gonna play a little bit this time, I think. We gave Thread Guy an invite. Like I'm hoping the game is, you know, compelling and interesting enough for you all to want to create content. And we're also gonna run some contests to make it, you know, incentivized to do so as well.
Clemente, did you have a question? You popped in?
Yeah, Tony, I'm curious right now. It's pretty clear you guys are ramping up from a Web3 native perspective. Like you're working with Web3 content creators and you're approaching this native community for this game. How are you approaching like going mainstream, right? Have you guys thought about that yet or how you're going to try to tackle this Web3 to Web2?
Absolutely. So a little bit of background on me. I was on the team at Amazon that created a program called Twitch Prime, Prime Gaming. The focus of that program was to enrich streamers on Twitch.tv with Jeff Bezos' money. A big part of our strategy is really focused on that Web2 creator community. Sorry, my dog is so excited to be on this interview.
This is hilarious, man. I knew we both had blue pit bulls. I didn't know yours was just literally going to just present himself the whole show. Anyway,
she's wonderful. She's great. Ollie, I love you. Please stop biting me. What was the question? I lost it because she was eating me.
You just want to know how you're going to go
Yeah, so we have one of my colleagues here, a guy named Mark Tanjuco. When we left Amazon, I went and started working on different games, and he actually went and started running BD for a company called Loaded, and they're a big Web2 streaming talent agency. They were managing like Dr. Disrespect before he went to CAA, Ninja, nice. Trout, all those guys. And so Mark really runs that part of the business, and we're actively spinning up those folks now to get ready to play the game again. I think probably closer to like GDC in late March when we're a little out of like building in public mode and we're more on like version 4 of the training exercises, and we've gone through a few iterations and put more you know, art in the map and have a few playable characters and stuff like that. So, like, we were on, you know, frankly, we had a great call with a guy named Demetrius Johnson yesterday. He's Mighty Mouse. He's like this UFC fight. Love that guy.
Yeah.
And we've done some work with him in the past. So, like, we'll probably start trying to talk to people like him.
He's soon. Big on video games. He said he almost lost his marriage because he was obsessed with Warcraft.
Yeah. Guy, and he's great. You know, we were on a call with him and he's like, so, you know, I think you, Pio and Easy, we've known each other for a while. Like, I'm a big family guy. I love my daughter and my wife. They're a big part of everything I do. And he was the same way. He's like, he's like, yeah, man, I'd love to come out and play the game. You just got to make sure I clear it with the boss and get a babysitter. And like, he's, you know, he's talking to us and his wife's like, hey, I'm going out. And he's like, oh shit, I got to go. It was just like a very fun, like real kind of conversation to have with the guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the most successful UFC fighters literally of all time, no exaggeration, and now he's crushing it with content creation. And obviously,
he's just like such a laid-back dude.
Yeah, and he's a gamer, so that's very cool, Tony. I didn't know that was happening. That's awesome. I want to meet him if we're at a Shrapnel event or something together. Absolutely. My next question... Wait,
speaking of meeting, just real quick, Tony, yeah. are you going to GDC? I know Shrapnel's doing an activation there. I'm excited to come check it out.
No, dude, that's my baby. Yeah, the Shrapnel houses are like my thing. So I really want these things to turn into like the place for people like you guys to come hang out when you're done like raging and you just want to like chill and have a drink and talk shit. It's shaping up to be that. I think we've got like 30 people that have already said they're gonna, you know, roll through and hang out and stay for some amount of time, and I'm stoked. It's gonna be great.
Well, and we rage, Tony, at these events. Me and Nick,
dude, I rage. So hard.
No, we got to keep an eye on Nick. We got to keep a serious eye on Nick. He's a little out of control.
His raging.
How hard I rage. I used to rage pretty hard actually when I attended events. And then I remember actually meeting Kevin Rose, and I'm gonna tell this quick interjection of the story. I was in Austin for South by Southwest. My cousin lived in Austin, so we went out to dinner and we had a couple drinks beforehand. And I was a little bit tipsy. I wasn't drunk, but we went to an event right after it. And I'm on this roof and Kevin Rose is there and Gary V comes by and is like, who I like knew like pretty well, but at this point in time. And he's like, yo, you got to meet Kevin. So he introduces me. I say hello. And Gary's like, yo, man, are you drunk? Like, have you been drinking too much? And I'm like, I didn't think so. Like, what's going on? Like, what's the deal? He's like, yo, man, you know who you're meeting? You're meeting Kevin Rose, man. Like, you're meeting Kevin Rose. And he was just telling me about this whole situation. After that, I was like, all right, you can't really be drunk at these events. I didn't think I was drunk, but apparently he thought that I was. And
I mean, Nick, you gotta have resting drunk face. I'm not gonna lie.
That's crazy.
That's going on a t-shirt. That's called
rosacea.
Well, look, we'll make sure Nick parties his ass off before the Shrapnel event. One more question, Tony. How much attention is Shrapnel getting from people outside of crypto? Because if you look at the gameplay footage, it's not like, you know, there's crypto stuff. Like, it just looks like a sick first-person shooter game. What's the attention look like from outside of the crypto space?
You know, industry perspective, we get feedback from our friends that we talk to all the time that are like, oh man, it's like, it's nice to see like one of us building in the space is what we hear, you know, from like the folks at Bungie that we hang out with, or when we bring new people in from like Microsoft or stuff like that, which is fun to hear. From consumers in the space, everyone that we brought in and had played the early version of the game has a lot of the same stuff to say. It looks beautiful. The locomotion feels good. We need some work on our gunplay. The Sigma abilities feel like they're going to add a really fun skill gap for competitive play. And so the thing that I'm most encouraged by is the people that are playing the game that are real critical of the space that we've brought in have had meaningful feedback beyond like, oh yeah, it was cool, man, because they're like in the same room with you and like they, you know, spent time with us to really give us critical feedback on what can be better and in a thoughtful way. And that to me makes me feel like they had a good enough experience that they want to participate and keep helping us build. I think that's going to start showing itself in the next, you know, week and month as we have these folks coming in and playing the game during this early access period.
Hell yeah. I mean, look, that feedback is invaluable. I'm also seeing all the different colorful gun, skins that you guys have put together, including ours that I see in there. And I've got some ideas for another one, Tony, next time you want to do something like that. But the game looks so cool, man. Go ahead, Tony.
It was me. Quick question. What sort of the timeline look like to where you get this to a point where you think like, okay, it's actually like production level, like, I don't know what the phases of game rollouts are. Like, it's not an industry that I've gone deep in. But so it sounds like there's a playtest phase, and this is essentially in order to get feedback from players as you go along in the development process. Where is like the end point associated with this, where you're like, okay, this is ready for actual like production release? What's the timeline look like for that?
It's so funny that you asked that. I was joking with our head of UX yesterday. He's a really great guy named Jonathan Schwartz. And he's like master of his craft type guy. Do something for 7,000 hours. And I was like, hey, I'm going on a talk show tomorrow with these guys that are friendlies. And so I want to make sure I can provide some really transparent feedback on where we're at in the game. So I'm good to tell people that like there's no more gray box in the game and we're pretty much there, right? And he just gave me a real deadpan look. And he's like, fuck you, Valpercell. And what he said very, and he believes this, he's like, if we were a traditional or AAA studio, no one would see the game for another year and a half. Like straight out. We would be demoing at GDC 2026, right? Or something crazy like that. And that's probably a little hyperbolic. But in terms of our development cycle, and that's just to say that like our game is going to be in development for a long time, and that's a good thing. We'll have what I would consider a commercial release probably like this year, right? Where the game is full featured, you can download and play for free. There's a marketplace. I have a team of people creating new live services content for you to engage with every week. New missions to run, things to explore, new items to buy or trade or find in the marketplace or on the map, stuff like that, right? Like that's a full live service game. But as we continue to develop, we're going to roll out features consistently. Like we're going to have a whole shared space concept, right? Called the MEF headquarters, right? Where like you as an operator holder or a holder of whatever represents, being a Genesis Collection member of Shrapnel in the future, will have access to like a shared space that you can decorate and make your own and use as kind of like a lobby for your groups or your guilds or however you want to organize yourself as a player group. That feature is not going to roll out until, again, like 2025, 2026, right? I wouldn't consider the game fully done until that very integral element of the thing that we're doing is a part of the game, right? Because like I view that as like a very big part of this like idea that you're going to be able to create a place for your group to gather and like all the mechanics we can wrap around that, like leave people logged out there to get XP boosts. Anyway, sorry.
Well, it sounds like it's similar to the development process of anybody in the NFT space, where like there's a process of building a business, basically. In your case, you guys are building an actual game, but involving the community in the development process and giving them back, like, essentially visibility, like you were saying, is most games don't actually reveal this sort of portion of the game. Instead, that's like doing a private, I forget what it is when products are bought to market and they do private surveying, market research sort of stuff where you're doing it privately. That's kind of what's being done, but it's being done in public. So it's the build in public approach at a huge scale, at a AAA game level, of building in public, which is pretty wild because that doesn't like that's not a common thing to do. If you look at like Grand Theft Auto, which we just saw for years and years and years in development, and then they sort of botched the reveal they didn't botch it, someone stole it. But the bottom line is like that shows what the traditional process is like for developing businesses, including especially in the gaming space. So that's what's unique in particular about this space. And
it's hard, Nick. Like it's wild. We've had like six false starts already. Like we were gonna do a much broader test like sooner than we are. And what we ended up doing was saying like, hey, we need to pull in thousands of people in a very controlled way before we go broad with like we have, I think I have like 50 or 60,000 extraction packs distributed at this point. And so before we allow that many people to like try to access this thing that we're doing, like we have to do it with like thousands of people. And so that's why we're taking this like operator only approach. Like we got, you know, we have like 4,000 or three or 4,000 invites out right now for this thing. And we'll probably get 2,000 people to show up, hopefully. And that's exactly what we want. But to your point, like, I don't know how you release a product like what we're releasing that requires networking across multiple regions, simultaneously for, you know, extended periods of time without bringing hundreds of people in and then thousands of people in and then tens of thousands of people in. It'd be unfathomable to me to do that.
Yeah. And I mean, look, it's been exciting to watch the development of it. Can't wait for it to continue. For people that want to get involved, they should get in the Discord, right? That's one option for them to be able to get involved. Then we also have Shrapnite and STX and buying an operator for future playtests. So I guess, Tony, if you could break down just how people can get involved beyond the Discord with a little bit of detail, please.
For sure. Yeah. So the way to play early access when it starts during season one, which is where that $3 million prize pool is going to activate, is to have an extraction pack. And you can buy one of those. I think it's nifty.com/shrapnel is the landing page we've got set up. You can buy those there. We also give them away regularly, both on this show and on our Twitter. So if you just follow us and hang out in Discord, come to game nights or share funny pictures on our Twitter posts, then you'll often win one. The other way to get involved is to buy an operator from OpenSea. We have a Genesis collection. Operators are continually taken care of. We've given them a couple of airdrops now of our token. We've done extraction pack giveaways, comic book airdrops, free mints, and we'll continue to give out stuff like that to operator holders in the future, including opportunities like this early play test, which is happening Thursday and Friday for this community only. And I think you're actually giving one of these away on your Twitter right now. I think they're hanging out at like 0.3. Is that what they're at? So yeah, whatever 0.3 is right now, a couple hundred bucks.
$600, Tony.
$600.
In Tony's world, 0.3 is, you know, a couple hundred bucks. I'm Tony, but it's, you know, $600, Tony. Come on.
That's crazy. I got a bunch of these things. I want them to be worth, you know, as much as they could possibly be.
And then we go pump them all, people.
I'm not gonna lie. The Nick pumping it GIF is like, it's one of my favorite GIFs and like, or GIFs, or I don't even know how I'm supposed to say it. And every time I see it, I want to reply and get on the train. And I'm like, our lawyer would be so sad if the Shrapnel account was sharing pump it up memes. I want you to know that every time you do it, I want to do it.
I appreciate that. And yeah, I wonder about that as well with our own NFTs, where I'm like, so I own an insane quantity of our own NFTs. Well, what am I going to do? Like, I can't just be like, oh, let me just sell 200 of our NFTs and just dump it on everybody. Like, I can't do that. But yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, look, ladies and gentlemen, check out Shrapnel, thenifty.com/Shrapnel. And of course, we have the Shrapnel account on Twitter. That's @PlayShrapnel. This is one of the most highly anticipated games that's coming out. It seems like every day and every week that goes by, we're getting closer to a full release. And at this point, we're going to have these play tests that we'll get footage of. You'll be able to watch some of your favorite creators like Easy and others actually play the game. And we're going to see some of these skins, these special skins like the Bodago skin and others in the game. Really, really exciting stuff. Also very cool to see the market activity of, the market activity of the assets ahead of these events. It's actually like pretty damn fascinating and something that you wouldn't see with the Halo 2 release 20 years ago, right? So it's a pretty cool, and this also is showing you how far back my video game history goes. I remember getting Halo 2 and playing online on Xbox One. But anyway, Tony, thank you for joining the show, and any closing thoughts that you want to leave people with before we wrap?
I love you guys so much. Bodagos is one of my favorite collections. Woof! I have my flaming Bodago skin and my tie-dye shirt champs Bodago skin. They're my favorites. And I just love being on this show. Can't wait to join you guys again. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, Tony. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. Check out Shrapnel at PlayShrapnel on Twitter or thenifty.com/Shrapnel to check out the extraction packs with our link. We'll be back tomorrow. We do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time. If it's your first time listening, we are available on any platform you consume your content on. The video feed is available on YouTube and on X platform. So subscribe on YouTube or follow us on X. The audio podcast is available on Apple and Spotify podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to share it with somebody outside of the space or just listen on the go, that's a really great option. Anyway, thank you for listening. We will be back tomorrow.